I'd like to call to order the regular session of the Berlin Mayor and Council for Monday, February 26, 2018. And as has been our tradition for many years, I'd like to invite everyone to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. First order of business is the approval of the minutes for the regular session of February 12th.
Motion to approve, Mayor.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Goyas to approve the regular session minutes as prepared. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Kelsey, the motion was passed 4-0, and Councilmember Purnell is absent. All right, number two, a motion 2018-06. Is being proposed by Burley Oak Holdings to purchase and finance five EDUs, or equivalent dwelling units. And Brian and Nicole, are you going to make the decision? Okay, very cool.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for having me. It's time to see you all again. Okay. I'm requesting to purchase five more EDUs from the town to. As you know, it's basically we, as we make more beer, we use more water. So.
Good. That's a good problem.
So, just I'm requesting these five additional EDUs, five water, five sewer, and then the financing of those each EDUs for this 2018 session.
Okay. Yeah. Basically, I think that's a year ago is when the council first established. The new EDU financing policy to make it clear, and then I think it was revised in the fall. So, mm-hmm. At least from my perspective, from what I believe I know about what we did, what I think we did, and your situation here, I think that this is a kind of like fits in, and hopefully also encourages other businesses to either grow and in some cases to be startups.
I would like to say that this definitely sets a precedent, continues with the precedent that was set with me almost 7 years ago to allow me to buy water from the town and allow me to use the sewer. And then the financing also is an incredible help with any business. It's difficult to be able to put out $85,000. So the financing of the first EDUs was helpful, and thus this will be also.
Good. Does anybody have any questions for Brian regarding? Yes.
I have one question. Is Burley Oak's request for financing of the five EDUs compliant with the policy that we have?
Yes. It is.
Yes.
And everything's paid up. Everything's good to go.
He's provided all the deposit and the filing check for the allocation agreement. So really, the motion for the mayor and council is approval of the allocation agreement. Staff Perfect. Has already made the determination that the financing qualifies.
Perfect. Thank you.
Oh, if one of those EDUs can be used to make my favorite, you've got my
favorite. Judging by the line the other day, you're doing well. It's good to see.
I'd like to make that motion that we go ahead and we approve the allocation agreement as was given forward by staff and town administrator.
Okay. We have a motion to approve the Burley Oak Holdings request to finance five additional EDUs for the Burley Oak Brewery. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay.
Thank
brew
you.
On, brew on.
Good luck, guys.
Okay. Good luck.
That's easy.
All right. Next, is number three on the agenda is a presentation by Darrell Kohler, our EA Engineering and Science and Technology Consultant for the town, and he's going to give us an update on our stormwater projects.
Yeah. Darrell and I are actually going to kind of tag team on
that. Okay, great.
On
great.
The presentation.
Whatever works.
But Darrell, you want to come? And guess I'll let you do the slide advancing.
Sure.
So let's go to the next slide.
Here we go.
There we go. It is. People at Kelsey do it.
It is. Okay.
It broke.
Just go, Kelsey. Yeah.
Just give her the nod.
Don't let the engineer have that. Give it to somebody who knows what they're doing.
So tonight's presentation is going to cover two things. Projects that we've completed or those that are under construction for stormwater, which we're calling Tier 1, and then a list of projects we're going to be seeking your approval in terms of the order for grant application purposes, and we're calling that Tier 2. So Tier 1 completed projects you have in front of you are grouped as follows. Project 1 and Project 2 are really in the Flower Street area. Project 1 is the offline culvert. Project 2 is the offline wetland, and Project 2 is the culvert. Projects 3 and 4 are on Williams Street, 3 being the offline wetland and 4 being the culvert. And then Project 5 is underway, not yet completed. It's the Maple Avenue area work that we're going to be doing, and I'm going to talk in those in a little more detail here in a second. So projects 1 and 2 are basically near the multi-purpose building. Projects 3 and 4 are essentially near the power plant. Next slide, please. So we're going to get into a little bit of detail with each of these projects. So the first one that we completed is the offline wetland off of Flower Street. Now this photo was taken before the vegetation was stabilized, but what you see is micro topography, which is the horseshoe and other linear features, which are really designed to help filter the water and enhance water quality. Next slide. This is the culvert work that we did off of Flower Street. Essentially, we replaced a dual 24-inch pipes with dual 7-foot by 2.5-foot box culverts. So essentially, again, increasing the capacity so the water flow would be a little more effective, and then putting in some stones to sort of add with filtration purposes, but also to help with the movement of the water itself. Next slide. Here we have the offline wetland off of Williams Street. We removed existing pipes and constructed two wetland areas, one large one to the south and one small one to the north. Again, creating some extra capacity and filtration for the water. Next slide. And this is the culvert. So you'll notice we're doing these as packages, sort of increasing capacity for storage and filtration, as well as increasing capacity for the movement of the water around the culverts themselves. So this is a removal of a dual 24-inch culvert pipes replaced by dual 24-by-38-inch culvert pipes. So anything in particular, Doral, you want to touch on with the details of any of those that I went over so far?
No, so far so good. Each of those two projects had a water quality component and a capacity, you know, increasing the culvert and the offline wetland portion for the water quality component.
Are these new culverts being successful in reducing or potentially eliminating the flooding problems that were there forever?
We like what we see so far.
Okay, good.
Yeah, okay, next slide. So we are near construction of the last of the Tier 1 projects, which is right at Pine, Franklin, Grice, and Nelson Streets. You may recall a couple of years ago, we got about $2 million, a little over $2 million in grant money. So this is the last project that we'll be using that grant money to fund. So it's a storm drain replacement within the William Street, Cedar Avenue, and Maple Drive area. We're removing elliptical pipe and replacing it with a larger pipe and upsizing storm drain pipes in the area. So no offline wetland here, but a pipe expansion, again, to create some movement with the water. So that's what we've done so far. Let's move into the Tier 2 projects. So if I could have the next slide, Kelsey. So here's an overview of the Tier 2 projects. Project 1 would be finishing up the work in what I'm going to call the Graham, Grice, and Nelson area. Project 2 is a bank stabilization project at Bay Street and Bottle Branch Road. So all the projects we've reviewed so far are component of the engineering study that we had by the Army Corps of Engineers several years ago, mm-hmm. with one exception, which is Project 2. And Project 2 came to our attention because we do have some bank stabilization issues along Bottle Branch Road and a critical facility with our wastewater treatment plant at the end. And so we would be making an exception in this process, and we identified this as a critical project that's not part of that Army Corps of Engineers study, but something that we think is essential in order to maintain access to that critical facility. Project 3 is in the Henry's Mill, Henry's Green area. Project 4 is West Street around Abbey Lane. And then Project 5 is Decatur Street in the area of Decatur Street extended. So let me get into the specifics. Next slide. Kelsey, so in Tier 2, we have a total of 5 projects. 2 focusing on Hudson Branch, 3 focusing on Bottle Branch. And the first project, again, is completing up the work that we would be doing in the Grand Rice and Nelson area. Project 2 would be Bottle Branch Road. This would be the channel stabilization project I mentioned that's not part of the Army Corps of Engineers study, but we still think is essential because of that connection to our wastewater treatment plant. Project 3 is Bottle Branch at Henry's Green and Henry's Mill. 4 is West Street and Abbey Lane. And 5 is basically that project off of Decatur Street extended. It's our recommendation that we tackle the projects in this order for the following reasons. Project 1 completes the work that we are already started in a neighborhood that really needs some help and has been a long-term priority for the council. While all of these projects are in that first layer of priority from the Army Corps of Engineer project, we do recommend tackling this one first so we can finish up that neighborhood and really reduce flooding in that neighborhood. Project 2 is recommended for the reasons I mentioned earlier. It's a critical facility, and that bank stabilization needs to occur in order to maintain the structure and integrity of that roadway to the facility. And then Project 3, 4, and 5, while all part of the first layer of priority in the Army Corps of Engineer study, the determination we made here was more number of people and the number of properties affected. So by looking at the remaining projects, Henry's Mill, Henry's Green has more people and more property in that area that's affected by this project than West and Abbey Lane, than the project that's off of Decatur Street extended. So the idea with those three projects, Project 3 and 4 and 5, was sort of like our own little interior priority, and that had to do with the number of people affected and the number of properties affected, kind of getting your biggest bang for your buck in 3 and then 4 and then 5. And again, all of these are projects that are listed in the Army Corps of Engineer report that's priority 1, with the exception of the Bottle Branch project. Any questions of what I've covered so far? Anything you want to add, Darrell?
Nope.
Okay. So then let's get into the detail a little bit in terms of what we're talking about in these locations. So Project 1 would be wrapping up the Hudson Branch work in the Graham, Grace, and Nelson area. What we're talking about here is replacement and upsizing of the existing storm drain system, looking at environmental site design, such as additional offline wetlands, and utility conflicts, addressing those utility conflicts, which have popped up in a number of the projects we've done so far. What we're expecting to see is a reduction of flooding. And what we're looking for in terms of funding is we're going to be applying to the DNR Trust Fund grant to support the funding for that project, which we estimate to be $750,000. Mm-hmm. Project 2, next slide please, is the stabilization work off of Bottle Branch Road, which would be a water quality project, which would address the reduction of nutrient loads to the coastal bays, and would also reduce flooding and erosion along Bottle Branch Road. So the benefits would be bank stabilization, protect a suspended sanitary sewer pipe, which I should mention is part of the need to stabilize. And this would also be a project that we would be submitting for funding to the DNR Trust Fund grant. And we're estimating that project to cost $350,000. Moving on, we have Project 3, which would focus on Henry's Mill and Henry's Green. We would increase the conveyance system piping size and create an environmental site design feature such as an offline wetland. We would expect it to reduce flooding and improve water quality. And for this, we're actually going to apply to a different grant fund, which is a community resilience grant program. Just an interesting kind of a program that the I think DNR has created. It's a combination of funding sources. The trust fund is in there, but there's also money from EPA. And so we're going to be applying to that for this project, which is estimated to be about $450,000 now. That is design and permitting costs. It's not construction costs. And in order for us to apply to this resiliency grant program for this particular phase, they are looking for a project that has not been designed. They want something that, you know, is interesting and is going to affect, reduce flooding and affect water quality to a lesser degree. But they're really looking for a project that hasn't been designed yet. So in other words, the work that we're trying to complete up in the Graham, Grice, and Nelson area, they weren't interested in providing any funding or support to that. But they did seem pretty interested in this particular project, which is estimated to be $450,000. So moving on to Project 5, Bottle Branch at West Street and Abbey Lane, what we'd be looking to do here would be to increase the conveyance system piping size, and then again, some kind of environmental site design, like an offline wetland. Are there other types of environmental site design options that we could mention, like would a rain barrel?
For these projects, environmental site design options would be the drainage area would be too big for rain gardens. We would be looking at infiltration swales, infiltration basins, submerged gravel wetlands, offline wetlands, those types of things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we're estimating that work to be $1.2 million. And then lastly, in terms of our Tier 2 projects, Bottle Branch at Decatur Street or Decatur Street Extended, this is a stream relocation and restoration project, which would involve the realignment of Bottle Branch to disconnect residential properties and stream stabilization. The benefit here would be stabilizing the banks, but also improving water quality. And we're estimating that project to be $725,000.
Based contingent on funding,
right, you
know, for each of these phases.
Exactly.
What is the total altogether?
The grant application that we put in totaled, I think, about 3.5.
Right.
3.5 million. Okay.
That's about right. So we had some initial. Can I go to the next slide, please? Thanks. So we've had some initial discussions with DNR, and they are coming out next week to look at the projects that have been completed, as well as the ones that we're interested in requesting funding for. Which, assuming that you agree with the priority order of projects, would be essentially Project 1 and Project 2 for the DNR trust fund funding. Those applications are due at the end of March. Mm-hmm. The Community Resilience Grant Program, those grant applications are due Friday.
Are those are 3, 4, and 5?
No,
no, just
that would be just Project 3.
Okay, thank you.
And so we don't have a target for Project 4 and Project 5 yet in terms of a funding option. We are reaching out to USDA, and there may be some funding there. But we'd be looking to leverage, probably focus on leveraging the funding that we're getting for existing projects first, 1, 2, or 3, before we move on to 4 and 5, in part because those are pretty significant in size, you know, 1.2.
And better this way. Anything that started gets finished, just like the Graham, Grice, and Nelson.
Exactly. So in terms of next steps, we're going to be meeting with DNR next week to go over projects that have completed as well as the projects that are upcoming. We did submit a letter of intent with all 5 projects, and the feedback we've received from DNR is there's some interest in Projects 1 and 2. From the Community Resilience letter of intent process, we've received some positive feedback on Project 3. So our plan is to focus on those mm-hmm. 3 projects. And again, the grants are due for Projects 1 and 2 at the end of March. And for Project 3, it's due at the end of this week.
Okay. Now, assuming that the council approves, are you in good shape for getting that grant application done by.
Yeah, we've been working on it with the hope and expectation that you would be supportive of the approach that we're taking. But the also, the other reason why I'm asking for you to approve that order of priority is if we see other grant opportunities mm-hmm. that pop up that are appropriate for projects 3 and 4, then it frees up our opportunities, enables us to go ahead and move with the firm knowledge that you're comfortable with this approach. If you'd prefer some other order of projects, then you know I'd love to hear your thinking. If you're happy with this arrangement, that would be great for us to hear as well.
I have one comment. Can we make this available on our website, this PowerPoint presentation?
Sure.
Because I've received a significant amount of concern about the Henry's Mill and
concerning what way?
The flooding issues. So,
they're not concerned that we're going to do something about it.
No. They've been concerned about the flooding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So having something to show the constituents that we're working towards and that it's something that has been very receptive with the community resilience grant, I think would be helpful.
Yeah.
Just so everybody's on the same page to understand that we're working towards a solution.
Right, and just a reminder, the resilience grant is really focused on climate change, and their focus is really on flooding, so I think it's a good fit. And the grant application is due this Friday.
So, if there are no other questions or comments.
Just one. Darrell, I'd like to make an appointment with you to ride and see some of these floods.
Absolutely.
At your convenience.
Okay.
And we talked earlier in the year about maybe getting out and doing the same, possibly on foot a little bit, because I have some questions about how everything tapers down and the different things that we put in place. So if we could pass along the time frame that DNR will be here, maybe I can coincide with that. If not, then we'll pick a different date and time.
Yep. I'd like to move to approve the priority recommendation of staff for these projects.
We have a motion by Councilman Burrell to approve the project priorities as proposed by the town administrator and staff. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Right. Motion passes 4-0.
And additionally, I'd like to move to proceed with the grant applications.
Okay. We'll definitely do that.
Do you need a vote?
I don't think we need a vote. I'll just say by consensus we've agreed.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. Good.
We'll move with all due speed.
That's again. Thank you. It's very encouraging to see something that seemed so beyond our grasp just a few years ago, now in tier two.
I'm equally as excited. It didn't hit me until I saw it on the screen how far we stretched that $2 million to get those 5 projects. Yeah. You know, we kind of went a long way up Hudson Branch, so I think it's shown very well with planning.
Well, you know, it's the 21st century. You win $1 million here and $1 million there, and eventually you're talking about serious money. It's amazing. Whoever thought?
Always
whoever
comes in for that kind of money.
No,
now,
thank you.
How's the holding bond operating behind the multi-purpose building?
The last event that I witnessed that it got to the level to get in there, it worked as designed. If you recall from previous presentations, the intent of that is when that elevation in Hudson Branch gets to a certain level, then it goes in there. It's like a secondary operation. It's not, so it worked. Luckily, knock on wood, the water hasn't been getting up that high. We're getting a lot of water, but just not the intensity.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
There seems to be a lot of water standing. The ditch running parallel to Shaw Street. In that field where the fence is, it seems to be a lot of water standing in that field.
And
the
park?
For the park.
Yes.
The park.
And it takes it a long time to leave.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
Is that something you can look into and see if there's a something?
I can. I think it's just low-lying areas.
It's low-lying and there's clay. And
Is that private property?
I believe it's ours.
Yeah.
It's the town's.
Well, and I'm thinking of just in terms of insects and things that go bump in the night. It's not a good feeling, even though it might not be a a severe health hazard. Yeah. So if you just take a look at that and see if there's some mitigation that can be done as part of this process,
yeah.
Because I know that the intention from the beginning, when we got into this and continues to be, is to get an area squared away, get it mitigated, get it right, and then move to the next area. And it's this process and this priority list does that. But if we've got a, we're bound upon some things we never knew, because Mother Nature's like that. She doesn't give you a heads up. She just lets you know after the fact there's a problem. So if there's something you could look into that and just when you all think there's a solution, just get back to us. Great. Thank you.
But,
thanks, Rob.
But I am so pleased. I am so pleased with the outcome of the completed projects and how we are progressing toward addressing the flooding situation throughout the entire town. I'm really pleased. I'm really tickled. And it's been a good thing. I have sat up here years and heard citizen concerns about flooding. And it may not be perfect, but we're trying to address the concerns of the entire town, and I think that's a good thing. And thank you for your leadership and your planning and taking that Army Corps of Engineers survey and making it work for us. It's a good thing. It's a very good thing. Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome, but I'm equally as thank you. I mean, it's an EA talent initiative team. So great. Thank you too. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. All righty. We're now on item 4 of the agenda, and this is a proposed motion 2018-05. Approving a resolution establishing a nonprofit grant process. And Laura's going to talk us through this and tell us what this will accomplish.
This started really last year during the budget process when I believe it was Councilmember Tyndall asked us to take a closer look at the process we've been following and to perhaps beef it up, like I'll just use that word. And so we've done a little research and looked at what other cities are doing and came up with this proposed process. This was vetted in executive session in outline form, and then it was also circulated in a fully written and drawn out fashion to the nonprofit organizations that you're currently funding, many of whom, if not all of whom, are in the audience tonight. I invited them to come and speak to you about any concerns or questions that they might have. So what I'd like to do is just kind of outline it for the benefit of the audience, if I could, briefly. So the nonprofit grants process, the purpose is to establish policies and procedures for assuring that all grants for charitable purposes are lawful and for establishing a fair and efficient process for reviewing and approving grant requests. The mayor and council make the following findings. The town needs to rely on partners to provide services. Because of the town's small size and limited resources, we need to rely on assistance from other organizations. It is difficult to quantify the public benefit with a lot of nonprofit organizations. Sometimes it's kind of hard to quantify the benefits to the community at large. And one of the reasons is that some recipients are reluctant to really identify their place of residence, and so we recognize that. The mayor and council also find that providing food, shelter, or clothing to needy persons serves a public purpose, and that the town does not have shelter for individuals and families in need and relies instead on nonprofit partners to provide and meet that need. The council also further finds that contributions made to Atlantic General Hospital, the Berlin Fire Company, the Town of Berlin's Energy Assistance Program, and Worcester Youth and Family are exempt from this policy. The mayor and council have determined that the services provided by these organizations warrant a different approach. And I will say that I received a question about this. And my answer to that was in part that Worcester Youth and Family operates a youth services program under a contract with the mayor and council. The fire company provides unique services, and again, AGH does as well. So It was in the town's interest to sort of separate those specific organizations from
and
the general
it's
process.
It's also in the interest of the nonprofits that would come under this policy, because you don't want to be in the same exact, I guess, bowl of potential grants and be also trying to buy that grant, those grants up between AGH, Berlin Fire Company, Worcester Youth and Family. We don't want to put anybody in that position. So what we're have done, what we're formalizing, is having a separate pot of grant money that is only available to the nonprofits that are not, you know,
those
AGH,
organizations, yeah.
Berlin Fire Company, and Worcester Youth. It just makes a lot more sense. Those are unique services, and they're all, you know, quite frankly, one of a kind. And our goal is to over time, and I know we're doing more nonprofit granting now than any time in the town's history, but we're also trying to be responsible so that they're nonprofits that, you know, are dedicated to serving this town and our immediate region, and also providing services from a local nonprofit. We're not talking about, you know, nonprofits are hither and yon. We're talking about the ones that serve this community, northern Worcester or Worcester County. Mm-hmm. And so I have to say, like anything else, you have to formalize things now, because the days when you could just say, well, everybody knows that we're doing this, and everybody, that's long gone. So it's the advantage is not only for now, but it memorializes the policy so that it lives beyond us. It can be amended over time, but it's there so everyone knows what to expect. And I think the first thing it does is memorializes the fact that this town does do grants to nonprofits that serve the town of Berlin and the greater good.
The policy outlines criteria for approving the grants. It identifies funding categories, and it also describes what is an eligible organization. An eligible organization includes government entities, an organization that is organized and operated exclusively for religious, charitable, literary, scientific, or educational purposes, and is exempt from tax under the IRS code 501c3, mm-hmm. or a chamber of commerce that is exempt from tax under Internal Revenue Code section 501c6. In order for an organization to be eligible, its mission must include providing a public benefit to the residents or businesses within the municipal boundaries of the town of Berlin. The organization must have policies and procedures to ensure that the terms and conditions of all grants are satisfied. The policy has limitations. For example, grants cannot be used to fund existing obligations, debts, or liabilities. Grants are made with the understanding that the town has no obligation or commitment to provide any additional support to the grantee. Requests for grants from religious organizations will be considered only if a general need is being met and the project or program does not promote the teachings of a particular church denomination. Grants may not be used for any political campaign or to support attempts to influence the legislature or any governmental body other than through making available the results of nonpartisan analysis, study, and research. The policy also provides steps for nonprofit organizations to be determined eligible for grant funding. There'll be an application process shortly after the conclusion of our budget process, under which the Mayor and Council will determine how much money it's going to be setting aside for this donation process. There's an eligibility application, and once the nonprofit's determined to be eligible, then there's a grant application process. That's all laid out in this policy. Essentially, what will happen is once the budget process is concluded, the town will issue the eligibility applications. Those will come in and we'll review them. And then those organizations that are determined to be eligible will also turn around and apply. Once you're determined as a nonprofit organization to be eligible, that's it. You don't have to apply for eligibility again. You would just apply for the application portion. All organizations funded in this process are required to enter into a grant agreement, which specifies the work that will be done with the funding provided. At the conclusion of the project or program, a grant report is required. This is both in writing as well as verbally in a mayor and council meeting within 90 days of the completion of the program. That pretty much summarizes the process and policy in a nutshell. I don't know if you had any questions, and again, I mentioned there's some folks from your nonprofit organizations that may want to speak to this proposed policy.
First of all, does anybody from council have any questions for Laura?
I don't.
Okay. Does anyone wish to address the council regarding the proposed nonprofit grant funding policy? I hope too that everyone recognizes it's here to protect the nonprofits as well, so that, and they're few and far between, but there are nonprofits not based in our backyard that are not totally up to up, to make sure that they never get any money from this town, and that it is made available to those nonprofits who earned our trust and served this town so well. So, any questions?
I'd like to make a motion that we approve.
Do we have anybody in the audience that would like to speak? I know we have quite a few.
They already asked.
I didn't know if they had an opportunity.
No, I did ask.
I heard you ask, but I didn't hear a pause to see if anybody had anything they'd like to say. We have quite a few that are here. Nobody has anything they'd like to say about the policy, whether they like it or don't like it.
Motion to approve.
Okay.
2018-05.
We have a motion to approve the motion 2018-05, establishing a nonprofit grant process for the town of Berlin. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Okay, motion passes 4-0.
Thank you.
And we look forward to getting your grant application once we get through the budget process. Not just because we're done with the budget process, but we're looking forward to your application. Although we will be pleased. No, but thank you, and for any of those that represent the nonprofits. And obviously, if you ever have any detailed questions, ask Laura, and then if you want, by best understanding of it, you can ask me, but certainly Laura's going to be front and center on helping you through this process. Okay, now we're on the departmental reports. First is Finance Director Natalie Salee.
Good evening, everybody. I have placed earlier on the desk printouts, a colorful pages look like fans, and the front page have a bunch of numbers. And since we're talking about budget, I figured out just to give a quick overview where we stand as of today. So the reports that you're looking at, it's called a budget report. Basically, it's a comparative report between what we have budgeted for this fiscal year, 17-18, and it's comparing itself to the numbers as of today for revenue portion and for the expense portion. I won't go line by line, I'll just give like a brief summary. For general fund, we have budgeted 7.7 in revenues.
To support 7 million.
It's the very first line on your report that has numbers. And fiscal activity, meaning what we have received as of right now in revenues, is 4.5. We have 42% to collect by the end of this fiscal year. Those revenues comprised all of the taxes, all of the business license, all of the general fund, not including enterprise funds. So moving forward to electric fund, we've budgeted 5.6. Collected so far 3.6, and we have 35% to go by the end of the year. Water fund, we have 1.2 budgeted, collected 581. Major part of it is the special connection collection fees that we're expecting still to receive by the end of the year.
They're in the pipeline, basically.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Sewer fund, pretty much similar situation. 3 million budgeted, 1.6 received. Major part is the special connection. Stormwater is 1.5. Major part of it is grants that we were expected to receive, and they're still in process. 427 of that revenue is being received and collected as of right now. If you are more visual, kind of, the pages after that, it's pretty much the same numbers just taken into the graph. So if you would like to view on the line by line items, so that's what we are. I thought it would be kind of helpful to see where we stand since we're just over the 6 months, half of the year, and going into the budget. Starting from March, we will be meeting with each department to go over the revenues and expenses estimated for fiscal 19.
From your analysis of the year-to-date status of revenues and our expenses, do any of these give you a concern, or are they about where they are historically?
It's pretty much in a percentage over from like 40 to 50% collected, which is in line with what we expected. Some revenues we will receive in the very, very last days of the end of fiscal year. It's applicable to like real estate tax because of the billing quarterly
period. The state is involved in all that.
For the expenses, like if we're looking at electric, for example, they're way ahead and they're on the surplus, but they're not on the expense side. They're holding on to the capital outlets, purchases of the capital assets. Water and sewer, we have a deficit, but we've paid bonds and loans, so that included in those expenses.
And I think the example you gave is a general philosophy that the town's been following for at least many of the recent years, where the general approach is to budget expenses liberally and budget revenue conservatively.
Correct.
And generally speaking, that's worked out pretty well. And it's good though to get this breakdown. And when you do this monthly internally,
right? We do that monthly internally, and I distribute this, and every department have access in Tyler. They can pull those reports pretty much themselves, or I can print them and send them over the email, whichever, any day, every day. It's much easier with the new software.
Good.
Those graphs, the fence looking, it's kind of not produced by the Tyler, but the numbers are there, and it's easy to convert them in the graph.
Does anyone have any questions for Natalie regarding her report? Okay. Next is Administrative Service Director Mary Boland.
Just today, Davis Bowen and Friedel informed us that they are working to schedule a pre-construction meeting for the tennis courts possibly this week. And they anticipate work should start around the third week of March and take about 60 days.
Hmm. Great. Good. Anyone have
90 days.
90, okay. quick thinking there. Anybody have any questions for Mary? Okay. Next is Water Resources and Public Works Director Jane Kreider.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Obviously, we're starting to work on our budgets. That's hot and heavy right now. If you've been on Flower Street lately, you can see that the walkway to Cannery Village is complete. Yep. And we're really grateful for that. We have a few more plants we have to replace out there, and that project will be complete. We will be reading meters this week, so you'll see our folks walking around your yards. Pardon our entry. And we're still working on the bathrooms at Henry Park. They should, we had a little few hiccups, but hopefully they'll be ready to roll in a week or two.
And to be fully functional at that point?
That's our hope.
And I assume the project has signage, so it makes it clear which restroom is what.
Who goes where?
Yes, they're both unisex. There's only one handicapped one, though.
Okay, so one,
right. One is designated. They are unisex, but one is designated as
handicapped unisex.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good, excellent.
Good sign on the path. The kids were using it before they were
finished.
Yeah.
Before it was finished.
That's a good sign.
Okay. So, glad it's being used. That's good.
Thank you. Any questions for Jane? Next is Electric Utility Director Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have a few things to report on. Henry Park, as Jane was talking about, we energized the service to the new restroom, so it has power to it now. The lights come on, you can turn the switch on. And then also on Schooner Lane, this has been a project that's been going on for a little over a year, It's that overhead line that ran from Decatur Street Extended down the right-of-way past Gold Creek, and it went through those large pine trees. Then it went over into Schooner Lane. You know, a few years ago, we had a problem with a storm where some of the large trees fell in there and knocked out the overhead line. We have actually installed the new underground switch. If you go onto Schooner Lane, if you come off a Dueling Way and make right, like you're heading towards Intrepid, you'll see a new switch. It's been installed on the left side of the road. We underground all the primary lines going into that, and then we have also removed the three-phase overhead line that runs from Schooner all the way back through the right-of-way all the way to Decatur Extended. So all those poles have been removed and the lines. And then after that, what else was it? Over at the power plant, we're in the shoulder months, so we're doing a lot of maintenance, you know, things there at the plant during this time of year. It's the only time the engines are really down, because now we can possibly run in the wintertime, and we know we run in the summer. So during these months of March, April, and May, we do a lot of maintenance work there. We've got a couple of relays to replace and that type of thing. Then also at Intrepid Lane, there's the second row of townhouses. They're going to be ready for service pretty soon. We're just waiting to get a call from them to assist them with running the underground from the transformer to the building. And then as Jane mentioned, we have meter reading. Today we started, and tomorrow, and we should be completed by Wednesday.
Tim, I have one question. In the operation of the power plant, have there been any days or how many during the winter that you needed to operate for peak shaving?
During the winter time, it was off and on. We ran, I think, a total of six or seven times during the winter. But there was a lot of times when, you know, we were about to run and then they would call it off right at the last minute, depending on the temperature and the weather and that type of thing. You know, as far as going into the summer months, we never know what's going to happen there. It all depends. You know, one year we ran six times to hit five peaks, and then the next year we ran 21 times to hit five peaks. So it's kind of like we try to do our best.
It can only go by the advice of all these folks at the department, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
It's better that, well, I guess even with those additional generation days, mm-hmm. aren't we still better off financially if you overproduce, but missing one of the days is more financially
that's correct
problematic than mm-hmm. producing too many days.
That's correct.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next is Police Chief Arnold Downing.
Good evening, everyone. We are 90% out of the old apartment. We have a few things to move out, but there's only one, let me correct it, two desks, one being mine, still left inside of that actual side of the building. So a lot of things actually have been disposed of, all the metal sent over to Tim and the guys, go ahead and scrap out. Other things we have moved to the side to assist our other law enforcement partners and other departments to go ahead and utilize equipment that we can no longer use that are useful. And we are getting used to the little bells and whistles of our new station. And only a couple people locked themselves out. Again, we're really grateful, and we just have to go ahead and learn how to page like Kmart and those sort of things instead of just yelling through a department. Other than that, we've been working real diligently with the sheriff's office and the county schools within town to go ahead and make sure that all of our young guests and all the visitors inside of the school feel safe and comfortable, especially with the traffic events in Florida and the different things going on in social media. So we're trying to do our best to go ahead and ensure that the individuals and guests that come into these areas do feel safe and secure. That's all I have to report.
Okay, does anyone have any questions for the chief?
No, thank you for doing that though, chief, making sure the schools are safe. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Next is Planning Director Dave Englehart.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Jane already addressed the Henry Park restroom. Problem they had there was both faucets in both of the restrooms Evidently, they had been frozen while it was waiting at the factory. They test them with water in them before it leaves the factory floor. And I guess the amount of time it spent, you know, just in storage, they froze and they were leaking. So the new ones arrived today. I talked to the general contractor this afternoon. The plumber's supposed to be there tomorrow to reinstall those. The county inspects the plumbing at such facilities. So he's hoping to get the county inspector there tomorrow after the plumber's done. And then we would need the general contractor, Jane's referring to a week or two, to come down and do it. We've got a few items, Jane does, Jamie does, for them to look at, like a punch list for us before we release the, you know, the final from us, the final inspection. But Tim's electric, after he hooked up, the county inspected that. That's all final inspected. That's good to go. Everything electric. They had to change out two outlets in the utility room. They had to be the ground fault interrupter, you know, the ones that you push the test on. They weren't. They changed those. So now we're just waiting on the faucets as far as the operation. But once we get the contractor down there to fix a couple little bugaboos we have with it, then we can release the project and open it up. Hopefully we can do it, like Jane said, within a week, or I hope no longer than that. So they should be hooked up and ready to go tomorrow, but we'll see how soon we can open it up to the public.
It's starting to be open before the warm weather comes to stay, right?
I'm hoping, yeah.
good. Okay, thank you.
That's all I have.
Thank you. Next is Economic and Community Development Director Ivy Wells.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I was on vacation last week, so I just have a few things to report. First, I'd like to thank Atlantic General Hospital. I've been working with them on a partnership for sponsorship for our 150th celebration that will happen the same day as Oktoberfest. And happy to report that we received a very generous sponsorship check from them today for this event. And we will also be assisting with their 25th anniversary celebration, kind of a partnership to help promote each of these events. Also, the continuation of Mr. Jesse's shoebox at the Welcome Center has been been more successful than I could have even imagined. The community brought three 32-gallon trash bags worth of shoes, and Diaconia was very thankful for that donation. The shoes continue to come in to honor Mr. Jesse's legacy. And this Saturday at 12 noon, the Shriners will come to make a public donation. And then on Tuesday, March 6th, the Lady Shriners will also come at 4 p.m. to make a public donation. Wayfinding signs that will replace the ones downtown. You think it would be easy just to replace signs that are already there, but it's not as easy as you think. I've walked with several different people at different heights and different sizes to make sure that where the signs will be located, people don't walk into them and they don't create any kind of hazard. So I finished that up yesterday. I'm going to order the wayfinding signs within the next week or two, and the new billboard should be going up within the next couple of weeks also, if you've noticed that the billboard was slightly fading, so we've come up with a really nice billboard. You're gonna like it. And then also two new shops, if you've read the newspapers or been talking to a variety of people around town. Two new shops will open up the beginning of March in the Donaway building. One is Attics of My Life, which is a refurbished home decor. She's also offering classes. And then the second shop is co-owned by Donna, who also owns Sisters, and that's going to be a backyard shop with not live plants, but pots and outdoor decor, bird feeders, and that kind of thing. And that's it for me.
Good. Does anyone have any questions for Ivy? All right, finally, our last report is from Manager Director Jeff Fleetwood.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Two things. One, health insurance renewal is knocking on the door. I did meet with folks from the Benicon Healthcare Co-op this past Friday up in Dover. I'd be glad to go into detail, but we'll save that for another time. But the but the reality is the healthcare co-op that Legit organized a few years ago, it's pretty much the same size as far as members, and the floor plan, if you will, it hasn't really changed, but that's an option that we have out there. And then we will be getting, and I'll get, I know that will be very soon, since we target the date for the initial sit-down regarding healthcare, you know, with all the Kaiser reports and all that stuff. It's good stuff if you read it now. And then on the 23rd of March, which is what, roughly 3 weeks from now, the service recognition for employees will take place in this room at 12 noon. It's a very, it's kind of odd when you look at it. The first 2-3 years we did this, we had probably 15 folks at a pop, but the cycle this time, it's only 5 people, which just seems odd. It must have been a wall in the hiring.
Great, no, thank you. Does anyone have any questions for Jeff? All right, next we have a town administrator's report.
I have nothing to report.
Nothing, okay. That's fine. I just want to briefly acknowledge the fact that this morning I was privileged to be one of the public servants who were invited to the celebration of Buckingham Elementary School's designation as a national Title I distinguished school. And this is a very prestigious award. There were only 68 Title I schools in the entire nation that earned that designation this year, and Buckingham was the only school in the state of Maryland. Mm. So that, and it was and the excitement and the energy that those kids produced is was just outstanding. And they're very proud, and I, you know, on behalf of the mayor and council and the citizens, I just told them how proud we were of their accomplishment, because the award is for two straight years of significant and measurable improvements in their testing, their all ways that they can measure their educational performance. And I also expressed on behalf of all of us that I think this is another wonderful way in which you're never too young to lead by example, and that regardless of your circumstances that you come into in this world, that just because some people have more than others, or may have more financial ability than others, does not in any way mean that your goals and your aspirations and your accomplishments have to be less than anyone else's. And I think they're proof of that, and I think that they are, you know, an example of what's happening in this community, and it's happened over time. It didn't happen overnight, where more and more members of our family, I think, are succeeding. Doesn't mean it's easy for everyone, but I also encourage them, because I've seen it work throughout the community, that we're all an extended family here. The good Lord put us all here to help each other. And whether we choose to do that or not is up to each of us. So I think on behalf of the mayor and council, we're very proud of our Buckingham Bears, and look forward to them receiving more recognition over time. That's it.
I have nothing, sir.
Regarding our police department moving out, we have a couple parking spaces downstairs that are opening up, and I previously brought up maybe turning those into electric vehicle charging stations. Could we maybe explore that a little bit further with this budget process coming up?
Yeah.
Thank you. That's all I have.
I'd just like to say congratulations to the Buckingham Bears. I remember when they were in my house, the Buckingham Bears.
Yeah, what's he do?
Green t-shirt.
Yes.
Good, thank you.
I don't have a thing.
Okay, thank you very much. And do we have any comments from the public? Anybody wants to address the council? Can just come right on up. Marie, why don't you come first? And just introduce yourself.
I just wanted to say I am disappointed that West Street would be put in the fifth place. We have had flooding. I have pictures I can show you from 1980. And it seems to me that the areas that you've addressed are all areas that have had long existing problems. and this has been a problem as long as I've lived there, and I've lived there since 1976. And it's taking away, it's eroding my property because of the flooding. But there's the people on the other side of the road have had to replace basements, and their downstairs is several times. And it just seems that that being a main road, it's not in a development, it's the main road that goes past Buckingham Elementary. It takes the traffic from Worcester County School, and it is used as an auxiliary when you have things on Main Street. You direct traffic down West Street. That it, we need a sidewalk, and the sidewalk won't come unless you do the work there. So that's my.
So basically, you say, saying that, let's say that if I can make sure I understand that you're disappointed that it was designated as Project 4 in the Tier 2 projects?
I would like to see it to be the number 3, okay, rather than Henry Mill and Green. I mean, that was something that should have never happened to begin with. That was something that was just done. We've been living there forever, and those pipes there have been undersized for the development that went across the street from my house, mm-hmm, and all the way down that street. To me, that should have priority of the others.
We need to hear from you. We can't read your mind.
No, right, and that's exactly why. I wasn't going to say anything, but no. If I don't say it, nobody's going to say it.
And again, I'm not, you know, off the top of my head, I don't know if there's a resolution except that the earlier we can get funding, the earlier we can get to these things. And I am hopeful. I mean, I wasn't going to say anything, but I met with the Assistant Secretary of DNR the first of February to discuss our general approach and make sure that I just wanted reassurance that we were basically applying for the right grants in the right places for the right needs. And I felt very good about that. I wasn't asking for any special consideration. I said, you know, this, although we're ahead of most communities in Maryland, it's still a new venture. Right. And I feel that our funding support is going to be given a very fair chance. And I think here, my experience so far has been, not just in Mayor, but in life, is that if you do a good job, it makes it a little easier, a little less of a push up getting the next round. Mm-hmm. So I think the key here is if we, they're going to take the tour, and anybody's certainly invited to see, but I my impression is that we're doing it right, learning from our relatively minor mistakes, that the better job we do, the sooner we'll get the additional money to get all the projects done in both tiers. So.
Jane and Daryl have been to my house before and seen where I have the water issues there, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. Daryl's going to meet me Wednesday or Thursday whenever it rains, and we're going to walk the roads.
Yeah. Is there anything, I mean, is there anything you can do for the neighborhood that might mitigate the problem until the
no,
full funding?
I mean, I think they're talking about putting a ditch down to the back of my property, mm-hmm, and deepening that one, but I don't know where that falls in the scope of things.
Yeah. But I'll tell you what. Take advantage of talking to Daryl and learn all you can. And you know, up his way, as far as I understand, you should be able to talk to any of these people anytime. But I think taking a first-hand tour is a good idea.
Part of it, though, was the sidewalk, because we have so much traffic on that road, and walking my dogs turns into a challenge if you don't do it sometime when just people aren't driving, which is lately 6:30 to 7:30.
Wow. So no, I understand, and that's one thing, because ironically that is unfortunate. Stormwater has to be done before we invest
right
in the sidewalk,
and
otherwise.
That's what I realized. Yeah. Know, so. I have another issue. There's a cell phone tower, I think. I'm not sure. Something that's over by the dump, between the landfill and the electric plant. Are you familiar with that?
It's right in the back of my house.
It's horrible.
Yes, it is.
Decatur Farms, my daughter lives there, they have, the lights are flashing into their bedrooms.
All night.
So what, is it in town or is it just out?
It's a new tower, I can't exactly say where it was put there.
Somebody said it was there, they just made it taller.
It lights up the whole sky.
Yeah.
It's what?
Upgraded radio tower.
Is there any way that we can have them do something different with that light? Because it is obnoxious, it's like a strobe light.
Yeah.
It just blinks all night.
Yeah, but other places have red lights, the Maryland State Police has a red light up there, which wouldn't be as intrusive as this one is.
As this bright white light.
I thought there's ordinances and stuff about bothering people with lights.
Chief, I know when we put the 800 megahertz in Ocean City years ago, that the central point was out there at 90 and 589, and that one was bright, you could see that from 20 miles out in the ocean, and it was, they turned it down. I don't know if they could do the same thing here or not.
You know, because I mean, if I was in your shoes, I would be very upset, because, you know, it just, it's not, it doesn't, it's like I say, it might be overkill from, based on your reaction.
I think so, because we've been on Facebook trying to figure out where it was, and I drove around last night, and that's where I kind of determined it to be, in a strip of woods between the electric plant and the landfill.
Okay.
I'm smart.
No, you've been around this town everywhere.
Yes, yeah. I was everywhere looking for that.
I think Tim has
Decatur Farms. It's bothering all the people.
That light's terrible. Yes.
I actually know which tower she's referring to. It is located in the woods behind the electric department. In fact, the other day when it was real foggy, it seems to be enhanced tremendously as far as the light coming off of it. It's not something I noticed all the time, but here recently it seems like it is a lot brighter.
Now, to your knowledge, who should the town approach, and can we find some examples of what other communities have been able to do to do this?
All
right, so
basically, I can touch Fred.
Yeah, just reach out and see what's happening, because, we all want to be safe, but come on now. We don't want to be the Baltimore-Washington corridor. That's our number one goal. Never, never, never be Baltimore-Washington corridor. That's why people move here.
Mm-hmm. I have a follow-up question for Marie's concern over the project placement.
Mm-hmm.
Can we figure out, and maybe we have to ask Darrell and EA, but the community resilience grant of $450,000 is for design? Correct.
Community resilience, yeah, it's only for design and permitting costs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, is the $1.2 million for West Street, is that all-inclusive to fix the flooding concern?
Yeah, my understanding is that,
That's a full, all-encompassing
price tag. Yes, that's design and construction.
Can we figure out if we're ordering those two correctly with Darrell? Would we be able to slide that in where it's a new project under this grant?
The order of those projects was based on the number of properties and people affected.
Impact.
And so the Henry's Mill area is more dense, has more property and more people. That's sort of the ranking. And we've submitted the Henry's Mill, Henry's Green project to the Community Resilience Grant application process as a letter of intent, and they're receptive to that particular project. With that grant deadline,
as Friday.
Friday, I think it would be kind of hard for us to say, hey, now we want to do this other project. So the timing's a little unfortunate. But the West Street at Abbey Lane project isn't number 5, it's number 4.
Right.
So it would be the next one up in the sequence.
And was I gonna hear correctly when you were giving the report earlier that we're looking at other funding sources
we
for
are.
4 and 5, so it's not a matter of waiting till the next grant
cycle. Not necessarily.
Cycle.
We're always trolling. I call it trolling for money. We're always looking for money for these kind of projects. I mean, my sense from the conversations with the council is that's your direction to us, is to beat the bushes and find funding where available. So we're always on the lookout.
Okay. Well, I think a very good case was made by Marie, and yes.
Just so you know, that Henry's Green drains directly to the ditch that runs behind our property on West Street. And it would, according to Darrell, says it should slow down the flow, but if not, it's going to back up and come in our way. That's what's been happening.
Okay. Well, please, talk to Darrell and
yes.
get back to us on yep. what we can do with the resources we have. And again, same thing as Councilman Tindall.
And I'll reach out to Laura as well to see if I can meet with you and Darrell so that I can walk that yeah. and understand what's going on.
But I do think, you know, realistically, if we get all the, if we get the full funding for all the things that we're applying to through the DNR Trust Fund and the Community Resilience Grant, we're going to be sitting mighty fine, and we won't have any room to complain. So I think other alternate sources might be a way, hopefully, that we can speed up the process for the other two.
That's why I thought if I brought it up, you have that in your back of your head.
But somewhere.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
No, but thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. We can't know unless we're told about it. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Rose, is that something?
Yes. Yeah, there we go. Yeah.
These are just chat for us.
Okay, good. Yeah. Thank you.
These are just real quick follow-up questions. I believe it was April of last year when the, and this is for Ivy, I'm sorry, when those signs were approved for, I think it was like 9,000. But you had said that you were hopeful to get a grant. So the signs you said are ordered, were they paid for by a grant? Were you able to get the grant?
Yeah, we received the grant.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and it's a reimbursable grant, so we pay for the signs in advance, and then we get the... we're reimbursed by the HCP.
And then in the papers, there was the whole sandwich board discussion. Do the signs, it just enhance the sandwich boards that are there currently on
the
sidewalks?
These are wayfinding signs to when people come into town, it's not really clear on where parking is or where the visitor center is. So currently we have wayfinding signs, which obviously you don't see them because they blend in. They're a dark brown and they have a green color and they're fading, they need to get replaced. So I worked with a designer and had the design approved by Historic District Commission, and they basically have the Welcome to Berlin logo, which is consistent with the Welcome to Berlin signs that are throughout town. And then they say things like parking this way, or Welcome Center this way, Town Hall this way, Post Office this way, restrooms this way.
The distinction is that...
And they're just for downtown, yeah, for people
but
who are
wayfinding
around.
Signs, I think the key distinction is wayfinding signs are to point people to public places or public services.
Okay,
and,
so
and
I
the
same way,
and
that's
sorry, that's a good, way, good question.
No,
glad
no,
you
no,
asked.
No,
is that, and the, but the sandwich signs and the example, what do we call those little...
The planter
box
signs or
the
sandwich boards, those are... Each business is allowed to have one form of advertising outside of their business.
One or the other. Yeah.
But wayfinding signs is to help travelers get around
right.
town.
No, we want people to ask questions. Yeah, we can't read your minds, not yet. We're working on it.
And then, kind of, just real quick,
sure.
Is it possible that we can get the FY18 budget uploaded to the site with the operating budget? Included, it's just FY17's on there.
Yeah, we're having some challenges with the formatting, but we're working on it. Yeah, we'll get it up there, but we've had some formatting issues. So.
And then my final thing, real quick, with all the stormwater talk, and it's all focused around grants and whatnot. Hopefully, we'll get. Is the town preparing in the eventuality if we don't get these grants, but these things still need to be done?
Yep.
So is it still kind of as we approach budget time? Is that still in everybody's?
Well, because we have a philosophy, just like we're talking about, philosophy about being liberal on expenses and conservative on income and revenue. We also have a philosophy that we always plan for success. So it's working, because if we can't get it done this way, we're going to try to get it done this way. And it's not like a one and done.
Right.
If we were forced into that place, certainly we'd do it. We wouldn't just throw up our hands, but I'd rather, show that have the confidence for all kinds of funders to continue to invest in Berlin, because it wasn't always that way. We, one for many years, and nobody's fault here or anybody that sat in these places, the town of Berlin for, used to get the minimum required by law, and then we got a grants administrator. But we're basically at the bottom of the list all the time, and it's just not that way anymore.
And that's great.
It's good. Listen, please ask him.
Thank you, everybody.
Does anyone else have any comments or questions or concerns? All right. So, have any questions or comments from the press? Okay.
Move to adjourn.
Okay. Thank you so much for your patience and for attending.
That's where he is.
He's in the Bahamas.
I said we all hate you.
Yeah. Perfect.
In the Bahamas.
Okay. Perfect.
That's great.
It looked like a storm.
That's just
it.
I said we all hate you.
That's perfect.
Oh, we were friends.
No more. No more. Yep.
Hello. I went over and played with your dog while you were
talking. I heard.
She is so cute.
I expect to come back and see her back in the office here.
Yeah. My wife just told me all the time about
this. Look at her. I mean, when we all go.
Yes, I did like to the checks I needed from Burley Oak, and those are in the safe.
Great.
So tomorrow morning I'll get the girls to.
Well, again.
Yeah.
That policy is made for situations like that.
Right.
Yep. Much better than.
It was easy with him.
Yeah. All you have to do is
ask.
That's right.
Oh, thank you.
Yep. You too.
Okay. See you soon.
See you later.
All on you.
Thank you.
See you guys.
Oh, you